You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you guys can listen to podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you'll find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul, and with me via the Zoom studio is BlindBat8719 himself, Mr. Brendan. Brendan, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Paul. You doing all right over there?
Living the dream, pal. Anytime I get to Zoom with you is always a good time.
Same here. Same here.
He's lying, but he just wanted to be back on the show.
No. This is always a treat to be on your show with you guys.
We got to make it a more regular thing because, like, you're kind of the same thing happened with Rob, where he would guest host enough, and then just suddenly he was just here all the time.
I got it. That might be a negotiation point with my wife. I'm not opposed to it, but
yeah, well,
I would definitely have to negotiate that with her first.
But just so you guys know, unfortunately, Sean wasn't able to make it today. That's, you know, his fault. Sucks. But anyway, no, he's doing okay, just in case anybody was wondering. But he should be back next week. I think we're going to talk something Halloweenish again.
You still got some time left in the month.
He's still got some time. Yeah, because it's as of recording, it's halfway through, almost exactly halfway through the month.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Brendan, let me ask you really quick. Are you a Halloween guy?
I think I've soured on it in the past few years, per se. I'm not huge into it. I think I like the candy more than anything else, but I've been trying to told myself I try to start cutting back on that a little bit. Again, I like the idea of some of this stuff, and I think definitely when I was younger, it was always fun to do that, and I don't mind the... Well, I haven't had trick-or-treaters in years because where I lived, it was like a three-story walk-up, so nobody really came around.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Halloween's fine. It's not that I don't go insane for it, but I appreciate that you got to celebrate this holiday and the next before you really get to enjoy Christmas. I don't like how Christmas is kind of trampling over Halloween and Thanksgiving at the moment.
Yeah, apparently if I want to go get Halloween candy, I can also buy Christmas lights right next to it. It's wild. So, but you are, you know, you have a newborn, or well,
yes.
Newish born. How old now?
4.5 months. It's going to be 5 months soon.
So are you going to dress Zach up for Halloween?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's just kind of funny how I said to my wife, like, hey, I want to dress him out and let's go. I want to go trick-or-treating with him. She's like, you just want his candy.
Facts.
My aunt sends us a little basket with his name on it. And she's like, oh, we got to take him trick-or-treating now. I'm like, oh, wait, I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have this basket.
When I want to be obese, it's not okay. Not.
But like also too for him, like I'm really got a lot of like character outfits for him. So like I just went to Comic-Con in New York and a little disappointed with some of the selection, but we ended up getting like a Hulk outfit for him that he can wear. I just ordered online like some anime ones. So he has like a Luffy outfit. He's a Naruto outfit. He actually has a QB one actually as well. And I got him a Spider-Man one. So whether it's Halloween or not, I have this kid dressed up as
every month. Every month he's something different. I am a little disappointed that you and I did not go to Comic-Con together. We went separate days.
I think we'll correct that next year. I will just coordinate with you guys a little bit.
I'm already putting it out to everyone who wants to go. We're going next Saturday, the Saturday. We are going to be there because this year we got lucky. So quick backstory for those of you guys who care so much about my life and social endeavors. My wife and I were supposed to go to Lake George, and unfortunately that fell through. So then we were going to go to Florida, ironically enough, where Sean was. Sean was at Disney. We were going for a family trip, but I couldn't get off work that Friday. She couldn't get off work that Saturday. So we were going to go for like, what, 20 minutes on Sunday and then fly back on Monday, which was Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, either or. So we ended up like, do you want to just go to Comic-Con on Sunday? We're off the next day. So we went to Comic-Con. We got to meet Tom Welling, who played Clark.
I saw. That's awesome.
He was so cool. Because what happened was we got online super early for him. So we were like maybe like sixth or seventh in line to meet him.
Nice.
And we pre-bought the autograph. We ended up buying a selfie with him too, obviously. And what happened was the handler had to step away for a second while we were up there. So we got to chat with him for a few minutes. He's a local guy. He was born in Putt Valley.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. We asked him about it. We were like, you can tell somebody's not actually, like, they never lived in Putnam Valley when they say, oh, Putnam Valley. No, it's Putt Valley. If you live there, it's Putt Valley. Yeah. So he was born there. So, like, we chatted for a few minutes about that, which was really cool. And then I met Tyler Hoechlin, who plays Superman on Superman and Lois.
That is awesome.
Both, like, so cool, you know. And obviously, you were there, so you saw some of the other celebrities. Did you get in line with anybody?
No, because we only had the one day. There wasn't anybody that I was super like, I gotta do this. I thought about, like, Sean Schemmel, the voice of Goku, because the previous year I got a playmat from Shonen Jump that had all of these Shonen characters on, and I thought it'd be kind of cool maybe to get all their signatures of the voice actors. But I find when I only have one day, I don't want to wait online if there's nobody I really wanted to see. For me, the day I should have gone really was like Friday or Thursday, because then you had Sandman. Dream. Yeah. He was there. You had
Sebastian
David Boreanaz was there, who played Angel back in the day. And then you had Binging with Babish showed up. Andrew Ray, he was there. I'm like, these are the people I would have loved. I would have waited online for that.
So apparently Sarah Michelle Gellar moderated the Teen Wolf panel. Yep, but she didn't do any autographs or signings. I would have been online for days if I had to.
I mean, her husband was there.
Yep, he's big into voice acting. He does a lot of voice acting roles.
He was on Star Wars, I think.
Something like that.
Rebels, I think it's Rebels.
Rebels. But I'm working on my autograph wall. So right now I have Matt Ryan. I have Tyler Hoechlin. I have Tom Welling. I want to make like an actual wall of just all these pictures, because I think I have a Sarah Michelle Gellar and a Winston Zeddemore somewhere lying around.
I have Winston as well. I don't have it hanging up. I have Winston and I got Jason David Frank.
Nice. But so yeah, that was Comic-Con. I wanted to do some panels, but just same thing. We were only there for the one day. And of course, knowing producer Melanie and I, we were very late and we missed like our first two trains. First time was just because we wanted to take a little time in the morning. And then the second time was because we misread the times. So not exactly our fault.
If I may suggest for next year, I know it's probably a little further of a drive for you than it is for me, but prepaying for the parking, it's a lot cheaper. It was like $30 maybe, or $40 for like just parking. But I found for me, paying the train, is the train costs the same nowadays. So prepay the parking, you show up when you want and leave when you want.
I just hate driving in the city. I hate it. I hate it passionately. Okay.
I understand that feeling.
I just want to fight somebody all the time.
Well, if we plan this right next year, we'll carpool with my sister. She loves driving.
Oh, okay. We'll keep that in mind. All right. So let's actually discuss what we're here to discuss. So before we go completely off topic. So the reason I asked Brennan what his thoughts are on Halloween is because Halloween has three different types of people involved, let's say. Either completely hate it, you're completely indifferent, or you love it to the extreme. Like that's really, whenever you talk about Halloween to somebody, those are the most common responses, though, are either you hate it or extremely love it. Then occasionally,
yeah, I'm probably more that indifferent side.
You're more the indifferent side. So you're actually the rarity in this.
Oh, yay.
Because like Halloween has become such an adult event now too, with you'll see famous TikTokers or Instagram, like people who just build their entire, like I have plenty of friends who go nuts for Halloween, and I love Halloween. I'm a huge Halloween guy, but I'm like you, where I'm not a big horror movie fan, which is weird.
No, I'm definitely not a big horror person. I firmly believe, for me, that going to the movies, I should be entertained. So that usually means an action movie, some sort of drama, like comedy, definitely an animated film. I don't go to the movies to be scared.
Right.
If you want to talk, like, my credentials for hardcore, and I'm putting hardcore in quotes here, of like, or classic Halloween movies, I think really is The Exorcist. That one I kind of worked my way through, because I kind of was told it was good and I kind of expected things. The last horror movie I want to say I saw was like 1408, I think it was what it's called.
Oh,
and the only way I got through it. Through is by expecting a jump scare every time. And again, I only went because there was a girl involved. That was really the reason why I saw the movie.
Always. I went to go see, the worst was Paranormal Activity, which is funny because I actually respect Paranormal Activity, the first one or maybe the second one, I'll argue.
Yeah.
Because A, they did something different with the found footage genre. I'm not a big found footage film fan. That was a lot of F's. Wow. I liked Chronicle because it made sense why he had all the cameras. Like, he was able to make them float. And like, because in all honesty, if there's an emergency, I'm dropping the camera and I'm running.
No, I'm with you on that. And I think with Chronicle, while yes, I haven't seen it, but also it was in a different genre. Usually yeah. found footage by that up to that point. I think it really was Blair Witch, which was horror. You had Paranormal Activity, which was horror. So the idea that you had a superhero found footage thing, and maybe a little bit, you had Monster Disaster with Cloverfield.
Yeah.
But I think it being a different genre gave it a little different perspective or made it more interesting.
Also, if I suddenly got superpowers, you better believe I'd want to document everything about it.
Especially in today's day and age where it's all about being that TikTok superstar. Yeah. If you're just a jump ship with the She-Hulk, like that's the whole point of Titania's character mm-hmm. is to be like a superhero influencer.
Yeah, and I'd be all about it. So having you kind of more in the middle and me more towards the Halloween fan side, but also yeah. we both agree that we're not big jump scare, scary movie type character, fans. So that's why this film is interesting. Hocus Pocus and Hocus Pocus 2. Now, Sean and I did our episode on Hocus Pocus last year, I believe. So we have talked about Hocus Pocus. But Brendan, I don't know your thoughts and opinions on the 1993 cult film, because now this film has a following all its own. It is a wild, rabid fan base that comes out. It's kind of like Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. When the season starts to change, it suddenly starts peeking out. And then
you're
suddenly
totally right with that analogy.
Like suddenly I see Bette Midler memes everywhere. So give me some thoughts on the original Hocus Pocus first.
I think I'm trying to remember because I did see this when I first came out when I was younger. I think at times I was bored with it at points. I think more in the middle when they think they're trying to save the day and they're kind of like canoodling up in the watchtower or whatnot. Then I'm like sleepy time. But I think this wasn't for me at times. I feel like because the primary story is about the guy trying to get the girl and he's being awkward about it. And mm-hmm. I always feel I'm so empathetic with people where it's like I feel that awkwardness, too, because there's probably some trauma of my own awkwardness back in my head replaying every time I see this on a screen. So I was like, okay, kind of cool. And then like, it's fine. I think, yeah, not the dance, but the one song number was pretty cool. I think, I think they did a good balance of like a little bit of spooky, but mostly like it's like safe horror that you're like, okay, this is going to be kind of fun, a little spookiness. And I think it had a nice mix of things, but ultimately it's not something where I'm like, oh yeah, I got to watch this every year. I'm like, okay, I saw this. I'm good. I don't really want to watch that. I mean, oh, you haven't seen it before? Okay, we'll watch it now, but not again.
Yeah. So for me, like, this is one of those movies that it starts off the season for me, right? It's just like, yeah. There are plenty of movies that we watch to kind of get us into the zone for whatever season. Like, I don't know your thoughts on Christmas movies.
They should only be playing during the Christmas season, but I like my Christmas stuff. I think my wife loves Elf. I'm not a fan of Will Ferrell, so that usually puts me in the minority there.
No, you know what? That's actually fair.
Yeah, I don't really... I like my Christmas movies. I feel like I think every year I'd have to watch A Muppet Christmas Carol because that is one of the best renditions of Christmas Carol out there. That's when I have to watch. If Die Hard's on, I'll definitely watch that.
Do you consider Batman Returns to be a Christmas movie then?
I think by the definition, it has to be a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I'm with you. See?
So then actually not that I would ever really want to watch this any time of the year, honestly, but by that extension, by that logic, Eyes Wide Shut is also weirdly a Christmas movie then.
It's and Iron Man 3 too, so.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So going back to Halloween though, what do you consider The Nightmare Before Christmas? Can you watch it for both?
Yes.
Okay, because that's usually the general.
That is a both thing. Why not?
Now, so the original Hocus Pocus, do you know what I think really bothers me about it? As much as I do love it, it's like it's cheesy at this point, and it's like it's just more the nostalgia. I don't find the main character very likable.
The
Max.
Guy?
Yeah, Max.
Max. Yeah, I am. Is he likable?
He literally.
I think he does a good job acting out. Like, I just moved halfway across the country to be in this stupid town. I don't know anybody, and I just got rejected by the girl I like in front of everybody.
But see, he put himself out there as kind of like a jerk. Like, he basically made fun of their entire way of life because it does take place in Salem.
Right.
And with his tie-dye t-shirt, and then he leaves the two bullies to actually die. Like, oh, I'll take my shoes back. Good luck not being alive.
That's the 90s.
The 90s. Well, so about this movie, it was exceptionally dark at times.
Yeah, I see that.
It's literally about murdering children.
Yes, it's sucking the souls out. And I think that, I think it helps with that. It helps balance out some of the campier, sillier stuff. Is you needed a little bit. I think it makes it more believable, the threat of the Sanderson sisters.
Mm-hmm. Do you? This movie kind of also feels very like Monster Squad, kind of Goonies. It still has that same type of feel to it.
I think because didn't the Goonies only come? Goonies came out like 89-ish, I think. So yeah, I like that. It's kind of the easy trope to go with, and I think that was definitely a different feel from the sequel. And we'll save those thoughts for later. But yeah, I think that was a fun thing, and I think this definitely had a more straightforward idea of, you know, kid doesn't know the ritual, the story of the Sanderson sisters, so he becomes the fool who tests, you know, I don't believe in this, and then, oh man, I should believe in this now, because it's actually real, which is another sort of horror trope at times, and I think them playing it a little more serious was really kind of, you know, was good for the movie, and I think had that little adventure, like, was good.
I found it to be relatable to both the young kids. You know, they saw a little bit in Danny, you know, being the little sister. Yep. Then, like, you know, you and I were able to more relate to Max, who's just trying to get the girl and, yep, you know, kind of move on from where he was. That his room was the coolest. He had like the watchtower thing in his room. He had the drum set. Like, it was wild. But
the drum kit.
So before we take a break and jump into the sequel, do you have a Star City rating for Hocus Pocus?
If I had to pull one out, I think it's a perfectly fine movie. I just probably put it at 3.
That's fair.
It's entertaining. You know, I don't think it's really terrible. You know, so if you haven't seen it, go watch it.
All right. So with that, we are going to take a quick break. And if you want to hear my thoughts on Hocus Pocus and Sean's thoughts, make sure you guys check out our previous episode. I'll make sure I link it during this week, so that way anybody who wants to give it a re-listen or listen to it for the first time can. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're talking Hocus Pocus 2. Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on us. That is a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service that you're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction. All right, we are back, and we are finally talking about Hocus Pocus 2. And I say finally because, wow, did this movie take a long time to come out?
You're right. Let's see. It came out this year in 22. The first one was 93, so it's literally almost like 30 years.
Yeah. So we got to unpack that first.
Yeah.
So 29-ish years. Let's start with the fact that they brought back the original Sanderson sisters.
I think is a big deal, because a lot of times growing up the way we did, when Disney would do their sequels, and even though just straight to the video ones, something like Aladdin 2, Aladdin 3, Lion King 2 and whatnot, they didn't always get the original people. So
right. You
notice it right away, like it just felt different because it's not the same voices. So I think the fact that they got the original actresses back was a big selling point for this.
Absolutely. And I don't think that this movie could have worked without them. Even if they just brought back one out of the three, they couldn't do it.
No.
So we have a lot of movies where they'll have these long gaps, and they either they're okay, passable, fine enough, or they're terrible. And then you get the very rare like Top Gun Maverick. Which was fantastic.
That was good.
So where would you find this movie, just to kind of jump the gun on our opinions?
I would find this one as, it's fine. I mean, it's not, definitely not the Top Gun Maverick level. I think because they got the original three witches back, I think this puts it above a lot of these long overdue sequels. Mm-hmm. Whether this even needed to be a sequel is a whole other thing. Oh, I forgot. Apparently, sorry, that was my wife reminded me of something I didn't watch last night on the movie. So, but yeah, I think that this movie did a little better than a lot of other long overdue sequels does.
Right. It does kind of rehash a little bit of the original story, because it has to follow the rules of the Sanderson sisters, basically.
That was something the trailers really turned me off to this movie. Right. You watch the trailer, I'm thinking, this is exactly the same thing they did back in 1993. They just changed some of the main cast, the younger cast a bit. But it seems to be plot point for point the exact same idea. And I was like, why am I going to watch this?
I am glad, though, that they did change it up. We got to learn a little bit more about the Sanderson sisters, what they were like as kids.
Which is one of the better parts of the movie.
The only thing is they went really too far with the girl who played Winifred. Like, they went so far. I don't know if you're the exact same you were when you were like 15. Because for full disclosure, Brendan and I are in our 30s. We won't give exact numbers, but... I know that I might have had some of the same quirks or trademarks, I guess, but I was definitely not the same person I was when I was 15.
I hear you with that, and I think, unfortunately, that's just one of the things that befall victims of the fact that it's a movie, and they sometimes assume the audience is dumb, and they got to make it really easy for a wonderful one trait of, like, it's not enough just to have the hair and the teeth. You kind of have to act the same, otherwise the audience won't believe that this was the same character. You know, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It, at times, it was just a little much. I was like, oh, my God. Like, she's literally doing don't get me wrong. It was fantastic casting. Like, the kid really looked like a young Bette Midler. But I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, she's really hamming it up a little bit. Okay.
Right. I mean, I think, yeah. But I think also, if you want to try and put a positive bit to it, I think you could say it shows maybe how immature she, like, or how the Bette Midler's character never really grew per se. She always was kind of like the same person her entire life and never really got beyond this one indignation or something like that, you know?
Yeah. But I think seeing them as children and kind of getting that backstory, it made Winifred, and this, by the way, full spoilers for this movie. We are not going to hold back. We are going to literally spoil beginning, middle, ends, whatever we kind of want. But one thing that, showing the backstory led to more, like, a bigger impact when Winifred actually sacrifices herself for her sisters.
Totally. If they don't have that scene, you're just like, oh, okay, sure. This scene definitely helps sell the ending of the movie.
Mm-hmm. So I think to see character development, that was the one thing that I was not expecting from the Sanderson sisters.
Agreed.
And we also have Sarah Jessica Parker coming back as Sarah.
Same ditzy girl.
She pulls the character off well, but there are times I was like, she's had so much work done. Oh my gosh.
All of them. And that's one of the downsides I feel like to this movie. All of them. If this movie came out like in 98, 5 years after the first time around, mm-hmm. a lot more believable. But you're trying to tell us, like, these are witches that come back that apparently keep their youth over the time they die, and like, No, they didn't.
No,
the age definitely shows through, and there's not enough. And short of them, I guess, insulting the actors by having them do like the digital retouch or whatnot, like Star Wars, like you can't match that up. And it's just, yeah, I don't know. It definitely did not help sell the illusion that these are the same Sanderson sisters.
And it's not a slight against the actresses at all. We're not judging them physically. No. We're not judging them in any way. We're just pointing out the fact that, yes, this movie came out almost 30 years ago. Yes, people have aged. It makes sense why they didn't bring back all the original cast, because the only original cast that they bring back are the witches and Billy. And Billy's under so much makeup that you couldn't even tell. But
I didn't even know it was the same guy.
Oh, yeah. And he talks a lot more in this movie. Kathy Najime, I think is how you say your last name, is Mary. She actually looks really good. She lost a lot of weight from the first movie.
She did. Yeah, definitely.
And apparently her smile is now on the other side. Yep. So I guess they explained it like she got Winifred hit her and it switched the smile. Over.
I would not be, to me, that feels like a change that totally would be in character that you told me. Oh, yeah, no, it totally makes sense for her character that it would switch sides on her.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually with you. I have a mole. But we have some of the new cast, though. So the biggest thing when they announced this movie was, we're bringing back the Sanderson sisters. Anybody else? What? No? All right, just them. And Billy, obviously, like we mentioned. Yeah. But they don't bring back any of the other original casts.
I think that's a good call, honestly, because I think, like, a lot of times when you do these sequels and you bring everybody back, well, what story can you kind of tell? I think, like, yeah, I know, like, when, like, Jurassic Park came out and they did The Lost World, I really wanted to see some of those actors, like, oh, hey, why aren't they doing this again? Because by that point, I was conditioned that sequels have all the same characters right. in them. And so I'm kind of glad, because, like, what are it's essentially, they bring the original cast of the kids back from the first movie. This is just It Chapter 2 again, but for, you know, ABC.
Mm-hmm. This movie, unfortunately, has a very Disney Channel original movie feel to it. And not,
yes,
that's not a bad thing. Like, you and I grew up on Disney Channel original movies. We could probably rattle off 1,000 of them that we watched over the years. But yeah. To have Hocus Pocus, which was a full-length feature film with a feature film budget and all these things, and was ahead of its time in a lot of ways, and has only grown in appreciation, It blows my mind that sometimes watching this, sometimes I was like, what is happening with that green screen?
I don't think I saw that as much. I didn't know. I think the thing that would sell it for me about being different, really, sometimes the angle choices, because like They do that weird, like, it's a three-quarter tilted thing where they can't the camera a certain way, you're like, make it look different, but you're like, that's very much something they do on TV to make something like a TV movie make look more impressive than what they're actually doing, you know.
And then, you know, it definitely had a predictable plot in terms of the new not minor characters, because obviously the Sanderson sisters are the stars, but basically the plot moving characters. So
yes,
we have Whitney Peak as Becca, Belisa Escobedo as Izzy, and Lila Buckingham as Cassie. We also have Tony Hale as the mayor of Salem. He also plays the Reverend in the beginning. They introduced Hannah Waddingham as the mother witch, who's basically just in the first scene and then, you know, at the end. And then a bunch of other minor characters. So what did you think of the new characters? Did any of them stand out to you? Did any of them have the same impact?
I liked all of them, honestly. I kind of liked that they went with this different... I liked that they went with this girl, kind of like girl power thing. And then right away, they're setting up the conflict of like, here's a fractured friend group That clearly, you know, the boy kind of broke up the group. At least that's the impression you get, which I think is a typical high school thing. And it's showing they're at that age of becoming women and whatnot. Because again, the lead girl, and I'm already screwing up her name,
Whitney Peak as Becca.
Becca. So it's her birthday, so she's turning 16, which is really important in a lot of society groups.
And apparently becoming a witch.
And becoming a witch is one of them. And then the other girl, Cassie, she's got a boyfriend. So those are things that were showing signs that and they're like, why, every year on my birthday, we do this thing we did since we were five. Well, it's, you know, the growing pains of life. And yeah, I think that was kind of a nice thing that they threw in there to be a little different from the trio we were expecting, maybe if this was a carbon copy.
Right.
So I really liked them. The only thing I will say, but it's funny, like, and I feel like everybody had their own role. You knew that Becca was the leader. Cassie was the one who kind of ditched him for the boyfriend. And then Izzy was trying to be the peacemaker, which I feel like is each one of those roles that somebody can relate to.
Right. In terms of other characters, we also have Sam Richardson as Gilbert. He owns the magic shop and he tricks them into summoning the Sanderson sisters.
Yeah, which was, I wasn't expecting that actually. I'm like,
I was a little weirded out by the motive where basically he just saw them and then followed them to the graveyard and watched them die viciously. So it was like his motives were weird. I think they could have done a little bit better with that, but in all honesty, like, it works for the sake of the movie.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you. Like, oh, so yeah, you saw them and you're like, I need them to come back. But I'm guessing a little bit, maybe it's a power thing, like a power trip thing. Because he's felt like he saw these people were powerful because he had just gotten his candy stolen. He's like, I want to learn from them. And I can see that's maybe what he latched on to.
Maybe. It's a very strange. But he and Billy have a fun dynamic. And he does have one of the best scenes in the movie where he's retelling the story of the Sanderson sisters. And one of the kids goes, what's a virgin? And he's like, it's a very funny scene because that was the question, right? Movies are very different than they were in the 80s and early 90s. Yes. Very different. Content-wise alone. Like, things that would get you a PG-13 rating were in G movies. Like, it is – you can't even find a G movie anymore in a theater.
What, was Paddington G? That's the closest we're going to get, I think.
I think Paddington was actually PG still. Like, it's wild. Like, even just having a cigarette – in a movie, just even holding it, not even lit, PG, I think it automatically bumps you up a rating. It's wild.
Wow.
So the fact that I think this benefits from being on Disney Plus, where they could kind of still be a little dark, you know, again, they're still trying to kill kids.
Yes, they are still trying to kill kids in this one.
And they mentioned the virgin thing.
I feel like that was the biggest thing for them, really, because like that was very much the priority in the first movie. And this time around, I was like, no, we're just going to go straight for power.
And they want to get revenge, too, which is even more interesting, on the descendant of the Reverend.
Oh, yeah. I find it interesting. Yeah, that's a big deal this time around. Like, you don't think his descendant was around the first movie too?
So, do you? The only thing that really kind of takes me out is how long they were in this freaking Walgreens.
Oh,
it was a jarring scene.
I mean, like, I mean, that was an aspect of the first movie which made sense of, like, these were witches from 1600 Salem or whatnot. They're in the, you know, they're in the 20th century, 300 years later. Yeah, everything is going to look a little different and new. And just now to kind of redo that again, like, guys, ladies, like, it's been 20 years or 30 years. Like, I'm pretty sure you're like, okay, this isn't as surprising to see. Like, I think we saw one of these last time we were around, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of things we saw the last time around, they do a lot of musical numbers in this.
They did. Three, I believe, this time, which is like, while in the first movie, that one scene was, it stood out probably because you weren't expecting it, or at least as a kid, if you were an adult watching it back then, you knew Bette Midler could sing, so you probably were expecting a musical number, but I wasn't. I'm like, oh, wow, this was actually kind of good. And it laid into the theme because back then that song was, I Got Put a Spell on You. Does not seem out of character at all. Whereas now it seemed more like they shoehorned some, not parodies, but basically different covers of, you know, Elton John. That's the first one that comes to mind. And I forget the other ones, but they just seem like they shoehorned some covers.
Yeah, it was a little like, it was jarring. Because again, in the first movie, there is music in it and they have musical moments, but it's not. I think the only ones I remember from the first movie are when Sarah sings Come Little Children, which they make a joke about how she's like, I can't do that this time. And then the obviously the big I Put a Spell on You number.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
That was really it. And people love the fact that the thing of the first one's a musical thing. I'm like, there's one song. There's one song that makes that great. And this time, yeah, I mean, okay, you have the person, you have Bette Midler. Why not? But it was a nice diversion, but take it or leave it.
Yeah. So, I mean, anything else you want to address about this movie? Anything that jumps out?
I think for me, I mean, I did love that they kind of did the three girls versus the, you know, the three sisters. I'm putting that in quotation marks because they're not by blood, versus the other Sanderson, who they're sisters, but they don't actually look alike. Now I look at their hair colors. But I like that they kind of did that storyline that, you know, she's got her own coven, you know, and whatnot to back her up. And I think that was a nice message. So I did like that part of the movie and a little bit of the nod they had at the end where the girls start walking like the Sanderson
sisters. Right,
yeah,
that was funny.
So, I mean, if they wanted to kind of continue some sort of, like, soft reboot sequel thing to this, to Hocus Pocus 2, call it something else, like Hocus Pocus the series, I think that might be entertaining. And that might be worth checking out. That was something I really liked about what they did with the movie.
I'd watch that, yeah.
And but, I mean, this was a movie that I didn't want to like, and I think it was... Like the first one, it's a good watch through. Unlike the first one, I don't think you'll be really watching this over and over every year.
No, I don't think I'm never gonna be like, I should really watch Hocus Pocus 2 right now. But you know, every Halloween I'm still gonna watch Hocus Pocus because it's on all the time.
Oh jeez.
It is always on. So let's go Star City rating for Hocus Pocus 2.
I'm just gonna go with a 3 again. Just for me, this was just, it's fun. It was a little better than I was expecting it to be, having not wanting to watch this originally, but I wanted to do the podcast, so I had to do my homework. But yeah, it just felt like it's entertaining. If you've seen the first one, you get a few kicks. If you haven't seen the first one, I think you can follow the plot along, and it's a nice, relatable story with the side characters.
Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of with you. I don't remember what I gave the first Hocus Pocus. You're going to have to check out our episode where we talked about it. Link's in the description below. But So I don't remember what I gave the first Hocus Pocus, probably a 3.5. So I'm going to go with a 3 with this. It's very rare that the sequel is better than the original to begin with. So you kind of always go in with that. And Disney Plus, unfortunately, Disney Plus has been a lot of hit and miss. Like some have been really good. Others have been all right.
Yeah, but they did that.
there's nothing that they put on Disney Plus where I'm just like, this is horrible. Like even like She-Hulk, which is such a weird audience like experiment.
I've been enjoying that actually.
And that's the thing. Like I have no problem with She-Hulk and I've enjoyed it for the most part, but then like you go online and people are like, well, this is stupid. I'm like, it's what did you expect? You don't need to watch it then. Like I don't get it. It blows my mind.
It's just a different to me it's a show it's doing something a little different, which is what Marvel kind of has to do to show that, you know, comics and superheroes can do different types of stories than what you expect in, you know, beat the bad guy up thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's One Way or Another. That's the song they sing in this. Sorry, I'm slipping through notes.
Yeah, and which is, it was not bad. It kind of fits, but I felt like if they only kept it to the one song, maybe only do, or do a second one, like, that's it. But that just seems like to me, like, when you write, do a sequel, sometimes there's that checklist of things that were in the first movie that were good. We have to have those in there. Like, or more of it. And it's like, if I put a spell on you, made so much sense as a witch casting a spell.
It definitely did.
And then, like, I'm going to get you one way or the other. Like, okay, you're hunting trash down. That made sense. But, like, you didn't need to throw the other ones in there.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. So, general consensus seems to be about a 3. I'm curious. Yeah. We're going to have to ask Sean what he thought when he's finally back on the show. Because I'm curious to hear his thoughts. But, yeah, that's pretty much going to wrap us up today. Before we go, Brendan, tell us a little bit about what you do and what kind of influencer, entertainer you are. I don't know.
I like that. Yeah, so I run a YouTube channel called BlindBat8719, BLNDBAT8719, and it is a YouTube gaming channel where I play Magic the Gathering on Arena. Arena is their PC and a mobile adaptation of the tabletop card game, and I figured I'm playing this game a lot just because I love Magic. Let's make us have some fun with it and try to make a channel out of it. And the format I play in particular is called Brawl. And historic brawl, where you basically take a legendary creature in the game and you build a deck around them. And I love the flavor you can do with some of that stuff. And it just, to me, it's a whole lot of fun. So if you are a fan of tabletop Magic and you want to look into Arena and you like the idea of, you know, if you played Commander or EDH on paper, come check out my channel. I'm doing the same thing, but on a digital format. And just, I want to express my ideas of how you can play the game and how you can have fun with it. And share my ideas of how to build decks, essentially.
Right. And if you guys are looking for that, you can also go to our website. If you go to our affiliates page on themisfitfaction.com, you'll actually find a link to Brendan and his YouTube channel there.
Yeah.
I think.
Any fan feedback Friday?
Oh my God, you're right. See, that's why Brendan's already trying to angle for Sean's job. But yes, we do have fan feedback Friday, and this is fun. Who is the greatest movie slasher of all time? So, during the 80s especially, the slasher genre was huge with movie characters. So I thought it was a little bit of fun. Now, really quick, I wanted to ask your opinion on this. So you mentioned that you're not a big fan of jump scare horror movies, like you want to be entertained. Where do you find Psycho to be a horror movie or a somewhere else?
I haven't seen Psycho.
Really?
So I did read about it because there was a great book back in the day. I read all about all these horror movies without having to actually see them. But I would say, I mean, I don't think Psycho...
I think it's a thriller.
Psycho is one of the ones, probably because it's black and white too, probably would watch it and I think is worth watching. I don't think the jump scare thing would probably bother me as much with that one because it's just such an old movie that
There's only like one jump scare anyway, maybe two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But going back to your scene about those 80s, so like add all of those movies to the list of things I have not seen, probably for two reasons. One, and the time they came out, I was a good boy. They're rated R. I didn't watch those
things. Yep.
And then I did try watch like the first Nightmare, and I'm like, I'm bored. I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna get through this per se. But now having hung out with you guys more, I'm like, maybe I should give the first one a try just to know the story, and then watch the third one because apparently the third one's the best one of the bunch.
But probably
haven't seen Halloween, haven't seen the Jason movies at all. So.
All right, so I'm gonna go through this list and offer my opinion. We have Jason. We have Michael Myers. Let's see, from Rob's comic book class, Ghostface, Michael Myers, Jason, Freddy Krueger, Candyman, The Thing, and Jigsaw. I'd argue The Thing and Jigsaw a little bit, but...
I agree with you, but The Thing is not a slasher, no.
Sean obviously wrote Freddy Krueger, and he did a very entertaining gif of Freddy Krueger putting on sunglasses. Rob wrote Count Orlok. I'm going to say negative on that one. Then he mentions Patrick Bateman. I'll allow it, because I know you've allowed it as well. Leatherface, he is pretty scary. Audrey 2 from... Of course, Little Shop of Horrors. Argue that one, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ghostface and any other Ghostface killers always hold a special place in somebody's heart. Michael Myers, however, scares. And that's from our friend, Ariana. All right, so don't forget, if you guys are looking to do Fan Feedback Friday, all you have to do is find our Facebook page. It's Cinematic Adventures. Just like it. Every Friday, we drop something. And then if you guys are looking for more of our content, again, our website, themisfitfaction.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Just type in the Misfit Faction or Cinematic Adventures, and odds are you're going to find something of ours. So, Brendan, I want to thank you again for jumping in. This was I meant to text you on Thursday, but instead I texted you the day before asking if you wanted to hang out.
No, thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. I, you know, gave me a good reason, excuse to watch the movie and, you know, spend time hanging out with you.
Appreciate you, buddy. So thank you again. So that's going to wrap us up. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Brendan.
And we'll see you guys next time.